I invite you to open your Bibles up to 1 Timothy chapter 4. For just a short reading, a short verse. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Scripture reads, "Let no one despise your youth. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But you be the example for the rest of us. You set the example in how you talk, and how you act, and how you love, in the faith that you have. You teach us." It was cold. Obviously, it was cold. I went, this was not my first trip to Hefford. I went 3 years ago with Laurel Heights United Methodist Church in San Antonio, and I thought it was cold then. But temperatures during that time quickly rose to the point where I could at least feel my feet. And I should have known that something was different or something was off when I looked at the forecast and on the map. It was just one giant snowflake. But we went, and we experienced, we learned, and hopefully some of us have taken some things away from this experience that we can begin to impact our community here. For those of you who do not know what Hefford International is, it's a little crazy. Hefford International was created as a hand up instead of a handout. It was created not only to feed families, but to educate families how to best provide for those who are in their care. The goal was sustainable living. An animal would be given to a family, with the family making a commitment that they would give the first female offspring to another family. As Casey mentioned, that system was called passing on the gift. And so in 2005, Hefford Ranch became an educational facility for those that were interested in learning how poverty and hunger impacted us all. By the way, I'm retiring from Hefford. I'm never going back again. What do we have to offer you, though? You saw the pictures, and you heard their words. And I have no doubt that some of the students who return back, who win, are going to be a part of many solutions to some of the problems that we not only see in our community, but that we see in our world. And they have them. One of our debriefing sessions was recognizing and becoming aware of the problems that are the cause of worldwide poverty. But part of that process was for them to discover the solutions. And you know what? They have them. But what will be our role in raising up a generation who can take these solutions and change the world? How will we impact the lives of young people who are in our care and in the care of our church? The reality is that, sure, I'm the family director or youth minister or whatever you want to call, bus driver. But the responsibility is all of ours. It is all of our responsibility to ensure that we are listening to the dreams of our students, that we are cultivating their dreams, and equipping our young people to impact the world, to make a difference for the sake of Christ. When I came to this church over 2 years ago, our youth department looked different. I could talk to the parents of our kids by simply going to worship. We can no longer do that on a regular basis. Are there difficulties that come along with that? Sure. Is there a little more mess? A little more chaos? A little more noise? Yeah. But I choose to wake up and thank God that we have students in our congregation, a part of our family, who are not here because they are dragged here by their parents, as many of us experience. But because they know that someone here cares about who they are, not only right now, but who they will become in the future. What a privilege we have. What an honor that not only I have, but you have as well, to be a part of a young person's life and helping them become the greatest of their potential and even more who God has created them to be. It's an honor to ask a child, who do you want to be? Where do you want to go? What are your dreams? How will you change the world? And so I ask you, church, will you help us in our mission of our students, our mission of making disciples who make a difference? This isn't just some cheesy saying that we put on t-shirts, although we did put it on t-shirts, and you can buy them if you want. I have 40 of them. Please buy them. But everything that we do, from confirmation to mission trips to small groups on Wednesdays to even our fun nights, all these things that, although they may look chaotic at times, even most times, are the things that we believe are necessary to make disciples that make a difference. It does not matter if you have already raised your children. It does not matter if you do not get along with children. It doesn't matter if children scare you. We will be a congregation that invests in a child from the moment that they are born and baptized until they go through confirmation, graduate, and into the rest of their lives. There is no discussion that needs to happen about that. We want our young disciples to make a difference. But how do we do that? How do we ensure that we are doing our part? Well, I pray for it every Sunday. That first we use our talents. I like to think about Jesus' life, and I like to think about the words in the scripture that aren't there. I like to think about his life before his ministry. We don't read about that very often, which gives us room to dream and use our imagination. And I like to think of the time that he spent with Joseph. The time that Joseph and Jesus spent together as just father and son. Teaching him not only about life, but about his trade, about his passion, about how he, what he used, what he knew. And then I think about how handy it would have been if Jesus... that Jesus was the son of a carpenter. Being on the road, knowing how to build a fire with wet wood, building places to sleep, knowing that what Joseph had taught him was poured into his life. But what about us? What are we passionate about? What do we really care about? What brings us peace when we do it and joy when we do it? And are we pouring that passion into someone else's life? More importantly, are we pouring that passion into a young person's life? The second is treasure. This does not mean that you go and get a row of envelopes in the hallway and give it all to the students. But ask yourself, does my treasure only benefit myself? Or does it also benefit the kingdom of God? Does our trust lie in our financial status? Or does it know that we serve a God whose math doesn't always fit the equations that we see? We serve a God who multiplies things that seem impossible. And the final way to invest into our young disciples is with our time. It is the most important. How much of our time is dedicated to raising up, to listening, to being a shoulder to a young person? We saw the young people on the video. But do you know their dreams? Do you know that most of those students on the videos are part of our confirmation class, trying and working to be a part of this congregation? But do we know them? Do we know what matters to them? Do we know their dreams? Do we know their stories? Do we know their journeys? Do we know their mountaintops and their darkest valleys? And if our schedules and watches do not have room for them, then how can we hold the title of a disciple? This morning, we are called to live a life service to not only the world, but to those that follow in our footsteps. Will you respond as a disciple of Christ?